Well, the row rumbles on. First signalled in the debate for Taoiseach last week by Micheál Martin that Enda Kenny's stroke, his parting gift, his parting hand grenade to Leo Varadkar, continues to rumble on. There was a debate in the Dáil last night. Some new issues have been raised insofar as Roisin Shortall, I think, and others said, is the real reason why she was appointed that judges can't give evidence to the Charlton Tribunal? That the role of the AG could well be in question there in terms of the treatment of the whistleblower. My own view is that Leo missed a real opportunity to create clear blue water between himself and the culture of Enda Kenny and his political appointments. That all he had to do was pause, reflect instead of double down and rushing it through, and just see what was best for Leo in terms of his own brand. You remember the guy who called Maurice McCabe distinguished rather than disgusting, as Martin Callanan has said. So there's a lot of issues. And does it really stand up that this lady is one of unique ability? Conversely, a lot of people criticising Micheál Martin for his criticism of Maura Whelan, saying he was no Frank Clark, no Adrian Hardiman and Donal O'Donnell. And we're joined in studio to debate that. But first, let's listen to Micheál Martin in the Dáil earlier this week, creating further division between the two parties.
Let's be very clear, Taoiseach. Neither of those three people were ever in the position of Attorney General. And with the greatest of respect to the outgoing Attorney General, Maura Whelan. So I'm not talking about John Murray. Maura Whelan is no Frank Clark, is no Adrian Hardiman, and is no Donal O'Donnell. Right? And Taoiseach, You strain credibility by putting her in the same league as the individuals that you've named. Now, I didn't want to raise that, but that is factually the position.
Can we have order, please?
Yeah, I know Frank Clark well. He goes racing a lot. I think he's an outstanding guy. Great legal mind. Adrian Hardiman is deceased, but was one of the most able minds in both the law library and as judge. Yeah, I think those comments are reasonable. But one person who doesn't agree joins me in studio. She is Jennifer Carroll McNeill, a barrister and author of The Politics of Judicial Selection in Ireland, a former legal advisor to Taoiseach Enda Kenny and I think Alan Shatter. She joins us in studio. She has penned a column in today's Irish Independent. Martin's criticism of Whelan went too far and is an attack on the entire judiciary, so I think we know where Jennifer's coming from. And we're also joined to get a political assessment of where this row is going to go. Could it result in an election? Fiach Kelly, political correspondent of the Irish Times. Let's deal with the substance of what you're saying, Jennifer. First of all, in the debate last night, Fianna Fáil put forward a very specific point. They said that the legislation after the Harry Whelan affair in 1995, when I was actually in Cabinet, the Court and Court Officers Act 1995, and you referred to a particular section 18 of that, they're saying that sets out a circumstance whereby if the Attorney General wants to be appointed to judge, that she makes her interest known to the JAB, the Judicial Advisory Appointments Authority, and due process was served. She attended a meeting after Gareth Sheehan announced his retirement in March and May of that, and she never signalled her interest in the job. She allowed a discussion in relation to recommendations about that vacancy, or non-recommendations, to stand. Was that not a conflict of interest?
It's not clear to me that she had an interest in the job at that stage. You know that she, the vacancy, let's just be frank about it, she became available for judicial appointment because there was going to be a change of government and a change of Attorney General. And so she became available available now, she may not have an interest in the job at that point.
Oh, come in February, Enda Kenny was dead man walking. I mean, after the, he couldn't remember what he said to Catherine Sapone. He knew that he was not going to be leading Fine Gael into the next election. She would have known, because she was a Labour nominee, she wasn't going to be reappointed by the next Fine Gael leader, whether it was
called.
Surely she was on a short fuse in terms of her job.
I don't know. She was reappointed by Enda Kenny when there wasn't a Labour coalition. But in any event, going back to the legalities of it, the process is entirely discretionary at the hands of the minister. And you're right, there's a procedure for an Attorney General who's applying to the JAB for consideration, and that's fine. But this Attorney General didn't apply to the JAB because at the time the decision was being made, the government hadn't referred that vacancy. It was earlier advertised by the JAB, earlier gone through a process. They came up with no names. The vacancy is still there to be filled. The government are looking around. They have an excellent candidate in their view. And within the constitutional process, and indeed within the statutory process, because they have that discretion, they make that appointment based on their knowledge of her and her experience. That's entirely legitimate. It's entirely legal, entirely constitutionally permissible.
Sorry. I mean... The government can appoint who they like under the Constitution. So to that extent, it's lawful. But the Fianna Fáil charges, they circumvented this particular piece of legislation.
Surely
it would have been better to say, OK, we'll maybe appoint her in July. Maybe we'll appoint her in September to this position. But first of all, she has to have dialogue with the Judicial Advisory Appointments Board.
That was there also options available to them. But they don't have to do that. They didn't do it. And what they did was legally permissible. Yes, of course, maybe they could have done it other ways, but there's no requirement on them. And you have to remember that the government has these residual constitutional authorities because they are the elected government. And unless we want to start pulling back at constitutional authority of government across a range of things, you have to protect the democratic constitutional authority of the government in processes such as judicial appointments, and in particular in judicial appointments, because you're appointing people who are going to make decisions for society and for individuals, and they do that without having connection with those people. So the role of government and the elected majority in choosing judges is so important.
But to say the government can legally do something doesn't necessarily mean it's best international practice. Because really what we're dealing with here is, and the whole controversy is about this, is the politicisation of the judicial appointment. And whatever you think about it, it is politicised. I mean, I actually think there's a majority in the Dáil not to proceed with this appointment.
Well, I've studied judicial appointment systems all around the world. And in fact, you look at the letter from Patrick O'Brien from the LSE in the Irish Times yesterday, he's done it too. And what he's saying about systems in the United Kingdom and Scotland, where he's saying that politics has been taken too far out of them. And actually, the hybrid system that we have in Ireland, which combines an independent assessment plus strong political involvement, gives a much better system and allows us to do things like make sure that there are more women on the Supreme Court, more women on the High Court, because we can take political decisions like, you know what, there aren't enough women. So 2 out of every 3 appointments that I'm going to make are going to be women to politically redress that. But actually, we have the best system going, and that's internationally recognised. And we have it because there's politics in it.
Well, what about the conflict of interest from the point of view? If you're a High Court judge and you wanted to go for Gareth Sheehan's vacancy, the process is you write in to the Attorney General. You don't apply to the Minister for Justice. You write in to the Attorney General. Would it not have been appropriate in those circumstances when the Taoiseach decided to nominate her to say, excuse me, Taoiseach, I need to recuse myself from this meeting. I have been involved in this process. 3 judges have written in to me to apply for this. I'd like to leave the room at this point. Would that not have shown a little bit of integrity?
That process was set up by Maura Whelan and Alan Shatter, as it happens, specifically to avoid scenarios in which judges felt uncomfortable approaching ministers individually and saying, look, I might like to be appointed if there was something, or maybe people feeling that they had to stay silent entirely. So that system was set up precisely to avoid that and to provide a structured system for judges to signal their interest in another appointment. And I think that's a good thing.
But you're not answering my question. Should she have recused herself from the
those
meeting?
Nominations, as far as I'm aware, and because this is cabinet process, but my understanding from what I've read this week is that those nominations then are passed to the Minister for Justice, who is the person in charge of judicial appointments, not the Attorney General.
And she can't say anything because of cabinet confidentiality. But you didn't answer my question. Should she have said, excuse me, as an applicant for this position, I think she should leave the room?
I think that would be a better, that from a governance perspective, I think that probably would be better. But it has absolutely no impact on the validity or the legality of the appointment. But yeah, like if we were doing it again, I think that probably would be a better thing, of course.
Okay, Fiach Kelly of the Irish Times. I've said all along there'll be another general election this year. Everyone said I was mad, but we shall see. Fiach, good morning. Where are we now in terms of the politics of this? And you know, I heard the initial meeting between Micheál Martin and Leo before he was elected was actually good, and they reached agreement on Dáil speaking time and so on. It does seem that to me. If I was Taoiseach and the guy holding my life support switch rang me on a Sunday night about something, I'd be inclined to take that seriously. I wouldn't be rushing at 9 o'clock the next morning to do the very opposite to what he wanted. First of all, what's your assessment on how Leo has handled this?
I think the fact that he decided to double down on the appointment, as you said, Ivan, quite early in the process. It was last Thursday and Friday he was releasing statements saying that they wouldn't be changing course on this issue. I think he probably made his bed then. While it may have been easier for him to ditch the appointment than to ditch Maura Whelan, it would have been very difficult for him to do so, given that there is a lot of goodwill for her around the cabinet table. People are unhappy with the process and how it's being managed, as we just discussed with Jennifer there at length. But there are, if you speak to ministers privately, they all respect Maura Whelan, they like her. I think it would have been difficult for Leo Varadkar from an internal government point of view to reverse engines on that particular appointment. But in having made his bed, he has really strengthened the line on Maura Whelan over the weekend. And that phone call between Micheál Martin and Leo Varadkar on Sunday evening, my understanding is that the decision to go to the Oireachtas the following morning to officially appoint her as a judge of the Court of Appeal was made at that stage because there were a flurry of phone calls with the independents between Francis Gerald, Shane Ross, Vinnie McGrath and Leo Varadkar, that he was merely informing Micheál Martin that this was happening, not that, like, you know, can I have your permission to do so. But I think the trust issue...
Sorry, who rang who?
I'm not sure who initiated the contact. I think it might have been Leo Varadkar, but the phone call between the two of them on Sunday evening was after the decision had been taken, as I understand it, that the Maura Whelan would be appointed by the President the following morning on the Monday.
And tell me this, in the Dáil last night, an issue was raised, I think by Roisin Shorthall and others, that a serving judge can't give evidence to a tribunal. So here we have the Charlton Tribunal up and running and looking at the very serious allegations of the government's handling initially of Maurice McCabe's whistleblower allegations going back to 2014 and all that time with Callanan and so on. What is the legal position, Fiach? Can a judge give evidence to a tribunal or not?
I'm not quite sure on that, I'll be honest with you, Ivan. I hear that raised in the chamber last night. It was quite late when it was raised. We'll have to clarify it later today. But I think the questions around Maura Whelan's competence, as raised by Micheál Martin and others, go back to the Fenley Commission rather than this upcoming or the currently running Charlton Commission of Investigation. That's where the main criticism of her conduct in office has come. Micheál Martin raised it in the Dáil yesterday. He said, you know, she changed her evidence before the Fenley Commission. That's why we don't put her in the same bracket as Frank Clark, Donald O'Donnell or Adrian Hardiman. On the wider political issue you spoke about, you know, will there be an election this year? I think what we have seen in the last week, as Micheál Martin has said, is trust deteriorate between the two leaders. But it's not just this issue, really. There has been a step change in the atmosphere in Leinster House. The leaders' questions on Tuesday and leaders' questions on Wednesday, there was a definite spikiness in the atmosphere in the chamber that hasn't been there since 2010, which is when you had two Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil of relatively equal size, with backbenchers really backing their leader in quite strong exchanges. That's returned now. Everybody knows the game is on. Everybody knows this is preparation for the next election. And consequently, everybody has raised their game. I actually think that Micheál Martin's naming of Maura Whelan in the same bracket as Frank Clark, Adrian Hardiman and others was perhaps due to him being over-exuberant, not wanting to be bettered by Leo Varadkar in the opening exchanges. It was uncharacteristic of him. And you are right. See, people in Fianna Fáil say, look, this is fair game for us to question somebody's competence on the floor of the House. But he opened himself up to charges of, on the one hand, sexism, as Brendan Howland said last night in the chamber. But in the other, you know, the Leinster House authorities even looked at whether he broke the rules. They felt he didn't. But he was reprimanded by the Chief Justice in comments made yesterday.
So, Jennifer, you're taking big issue about that Micheál Martin went too far. Can I put it to you? Hold on a second. I have absolutely primary association with our national parliament because it's accountable, you can fire the people. Judges are accountable to nobody except an appeal court, and we know how often decisions are reversed. Judges have vast power. This deferential thing that no one can say a word about a judge, or particularly the circumstance of appointment of a judge, is horse manure, surely. I mean, insofar as, are we now being told that nobody can be critical of any judge, their former decisions or anything like that? Who do they think they are?
I don't think that's what was happening, Ivan. I think what he said was, this woman isn't of the same calibre as these excellent people. And he named them. And you played the clip at the beginning of the show. You heard exactly what he said. And it's an attack on what is now a sitting judge. It's saying she's somehow lesser, less able, less suitable, of less calibre. And what does that mean? Take that further. Does that mean that I'll follow this guy's judgments but I won't follow her judgments, or I won't follow his judgments? You can't go attacking named judges like that. There's a new process.
So you're saying there should be no analysis of someone's qualifications?
Well, that's not what I said. What I was going to say was that there's a new piece of legislation on judicial counsel which will deal with issues about discipline and standards among the judiciary, because of course you have to regulate and govern them in the same way as other things. But it isn't for senior members of the opposition, and it isn't for members of the government to go attacking in public, and in particular in the Oireachtas, sitting members of the judiciary. And the judiciary, I think, are rightly outraged by it.
Well, did you read the Interim Fenley report in relation to the Attorney General? Was it three or four times she gave evidence to it?
I heard that
she gave the Taoiseach advice. Her initial statement to Fenley was that, oh my God, these tape-recorded conversations in Garda stations could result in people being sprung for jail. She was alarmist. She then came along, I think a year later, and made a completely different statement. And Fenley actually said, you know what, I believe your first statement. You were alarmist in that. I mean, how credible is someone who changes their evidence?
I'm not getting into the Fenley report. What I saw.
So you can't sweep that under the carpet.
I'm simply not getting into the Fenley report for lots of different reasons, including
it doesn't suit your narrative. I mean, the fact of the matter is, she was exposed and she was joined at the hip with Enda Kenny.
Ivan, that Lamora Whelan worked in the Attorney General's office for 6 years. In that period, she dealt with the Stability Treaty referendum. She dealt with the legislation on protection of life. She dealt with managing legislation.
She dealt with the site serve inquiry where she made a hames of the terms of reference.
She dealt with a whole load of different pieces of legislation and a series of government decisions.
The Supreme Court ruled her advices on the leaflet for the children's referendum were wrong.
I've given
you three cases where you could raise serious questions about her judgment.
In 6 years, you know as well as I do from your experience in government what the Attorney General does, and it's often done in private, the guidance and the management of the legal cases. There's never any publicity in relation to any of those. And being in government, as you know, is a difficult thing to do. There are good times, there are bad times, and it is complex and it is difficult. And that is why somebody with the experience of that and with the governance experience of that, I think, brings a great compliment to the other judges on the Court of Appeal who come from different backgrounds and different experiences. But if you're saying that the complexity of experience...
I'm saying she made mistakes.
We all make mistakes, Ivan, and we all do things that are really fantastic.
But surely,
and it adds to the complexity
the key
of one's
point,
skills.
The key point,
and it
the key
adds
point.
To the complexity of experience bringing to the Court of Appeal. Ivan,
let me interrupt you. The key point, and it's a separate point, for the appointment to this court, to the appeal court, the main criteria would be that you had some judicial experience.
No,
that
that's
mostly
not
it's high court
no,
judges.
That's not correct.
Her experience as first law
correct.
Officer was different.
It's just not correct. What you've said is just not correct. The main criteria is that she's a barrister or solicitor of 12 years' experience, and that she has suitable and appropriate experience for the position. And that is the same criteria for the High Court, the Court of Appeal and the Supreme Court. And there have been plenty of judges appointed to the Supreme Court without High Court or trial experience, the most recent being Donal O'Donnell, Adrian Hardiman, I think Niall McCarthy. There's been a number of judges going back over the years. So it's just simply not correct.
Can you shed any light on Roisin Shortall's point that judges can or cannot, surely it's a matter of fact, it's not a matter of opinion, whether judges can or cannot give evidence to a tribunal?
No, I don't know the answer to that. I'd have to think more about that. I don't see how that would work procedurally, being questioned by people whom she might ultimately have evidence given before her.
Do you think
by
it's
the
unlikely?
I think it's unlikely, but I don't know.
Okay, Fiacc, let me conclude with you on this. there's also a story this morning which intrigued me, that there was a meeting of the Fine Gael ministers. And despite the public blather and stonewalling that's going on about this, you know, with lawful and unique ability and all that sort of usual stuff, that Fine Gael ministers are seething with Kenny and Francis Fitzgerald in particular about this, and they want answers.
Yeah, I think they are privately saying that most people, if you talk to most cabinet ministers around Leinster House in the last few days, they are angry with the way it was handled. They do believe it was, I suppose, a little unwanted present left by Enda Kenny for Leo Varadkar. But they feel that they have to go ahead with it. Like, even Leo Varadkar himself told the parliamentary party meeting last night, I wouldn't want to deal with this in my first week as Taoiseach. This type of judicial appointment will never happen again. Most of them are massively uncomfortable with how it was handled, but they feel that they have to just kind of soldier on through it. And they're not happy with the way it was brought in the manner it was, under the arm, on the morning of the cabinet meeting, with no forenotice from Francis Fitzgerald or Enda Kenny. There is a lot of anger about it, but they see it as, a parting gift or a parting shot from Enda Kenny to Leo Varadkar. They're not necessarily blaming Varadkar for it. They're more so blaming Kenny and, by association, Francis Fitzgerald. There was a meeting of the Fine Gael, pre-cabinet meeting this week, which saw Mary Mitchell O'Connor, in particular, I think, raise concerns about it. And she also took her colleagues to task on what she felt was disloyal behaviour against her. She said, we're all on the one team or we're not. I think she believed people were briefing against her or talking about her in corridors.
A new piece of legislation to reform the judicial appointment system is the first one being brought up. It's scheduled for next week already. There's a clear commitment by this government and by the Taoiseach to introduce new processes, which I think are going to be greatly better processes.
Is that
in
not
respect
tantamount
to
admitting
appointments.
That they got this wrong?
This is legislation that was signalled a year ago and published and gone through pre-legislative stage last January, so I don't think so, Ivan, no.
Okay. Jennifer Carroll McNeill, barrister and author of Politics of Judicial Selection in Ireland, and Fiacca Kelly, political correspondent of the Irish Times. Thank you for joining us.